Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
How many of you believe in reincarnation? Any of you? On today's program, we're going to talk about reincarnation, but we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to give you the opportunity to find out who you might have been in a past life. And we're going to bring on from the Past Lives Reading Center, Chris Norton, and he will be on not only to talk about reincarnation, but also to read past lives, to tell us what we might have done in a past life. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'd like to bring on Mr. Norton now, and you are with a group called, not a group, but you run the Past Lives Reading Center in Santa Barbara, California, correct?
That's correct, Phil.
And tell me about reading past lives. Are you clairvoyant? Are you a psychic?
It's a question that a lot of people will ask. I do have a clairvoyant tone to my readings. I do sense the possibilities within present life. And then I reevaluate that past on possible past life. So we are a nonprofit organization, first of all, that's dedicated to helping people realize their full present life potential. And we do that by resolving the past through past life interpretation.
Now, as many of my listeners probably guessed, we have Chris on to possibly take phone calls from you out there if you'd like him to read a past life. Is that how you would put it, Chris?
I'm able through fill through information, interpretation, and some clairvoyance to tell people as accurately as I can what they might have, what their past life might have been.
Now, are we talking about the life immediate to this one?
It can be any life, but one thing to keep in mind is your past life, your immediate past life, may have been one that in present time, in Newtonian time, might have been as long ago as the Middle Ages. I think a lot of people think that their past life might have happened just before they were born, but remember that in spiritual terms, lives are not regulated by Newtonian time. Your life, your past life, is regulated in metaphysical time, which can be a lifetime, can be the blink of an eye.
For instance, can you tell me by talking to me?
Well, I anticipated that question, Phil, as a matter of fact, and I did do try to get some preliminary feel about you. I do know that you gave me some information about yourself. You're 50 years of age, correct?
I'm 50 years old.
And where? Let's get a question from you, Phil. Do you like to read? What are the things that you enjoy most, would you say?
The thing I enjoy most is my family and my work.
So your work is pretty much your pleasure in life, would you say?
Yeah, I would say my work, my family. I'm not a guy for hobbies. I don't have a hobbies other than, you know, drinking.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound like a very healthy one, but all right. And what year were you born?
I was born in 1952.
All right, from that information, I'm going to try to get a sense of who you are, Phil.
Now, what are you doing right now?
What I'm doing is I'm really just doing nothing more than thinking. Some people may call it thinking. I'm trying to get a sense of you and also of... I would say, Phil, that you were born somewhere... around the territory of modern Arctic, which is in Russia.
Now, are you getting that through clairvoyance mostly? Or?
No, I'm getting it through a sense of you. If you want to call it clairvoyance, you can. But I'm getting it through a sense of you. Because I ask you this question, it's just sort of like, it's almost like a long jumper running up to the pit before he jumps. I ask those questions to give myself some kind of impetus into perception of you. I get that you were born sometime around 700 A.D.
Now, this is my immediate past life?
That is correct, yeah.
I was born around 700 A.D., and I was born in Arctic, which is where?
That is in modern-day Russia.
All right.
Your profession was, you were a musician. You were a bard, which is a storyteller. You were a very practical person. You were very materialistic. You had no real spiritual consciousness. You did have kind of a simple wisdom, so people liked you.
Was I a successful person?
Well, in those days, bards and musicians were not ordinarily successful people. They were people who just traveled from town to town.
So I was kind of like a guy that just went from from town to town with a guitar.
That's correct. Yeah. I think it's important for people to understand that your past life may seem amusing, but it does give you some idea as to how to go about living your modern-day life. And I think, given the fact that as that person you didn't really have a spiritual consciousness, you might want to consider developing a spiritual consciousness.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton. He's from the Past Lives Reading Center. That's interesting. So I was a musician, and I lived in Russia around 700 A.D.
That's what I get. And I can't get more specific for that.
I think that's pretty specific.
Well, it takes. For me, I started my I started out as a kind of a clairvoyant, and I did just personality readings and aura readings. But I wanted to get into past life reading because I thought it was more interesting. And I'd like to give the phone number out of the Past Life Reading Center if I could, if people have more information.
Okay.
Our number is 213-251-31. You know what? Yeah, 31889. There's a lot of pain in people's lives today, and I'm trying to help people get on with their lives by finishing the past.
All right, well, let me give out this number. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So, Chris, you will go ahead and read clairvoyantly, or I don't know.
It's more like a sense that I get, and then I see the person clearer. If you want to call it clairvoyance, you can, but it's mostly kind of a spiritual read that I get on people.
So if people are interested in what their past life was, they can call up.
If they want to get a general idea, yes, of who they might have been.
Now, you didn't tell me whether I was male or female. Isn't that, is it possible to be male or female?
That is correct. And I don't get a sense. I get a strong sense that you were in this immediate past life male. And what that means is you didn't have any real issues to work out in terms of gender. You were mostly working out of spirituality. But there is a lot of pain in people's lives. You
know? Okay, so my past life as a musician wandering the countryside of Russia, I must have been poor.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. You were not a man of means. No,
I was kind of like living on the road.
Yeah, you could say, and that was the way a lot of musicians in those days lived. A lot of the poets and storytellers did. They kind of lived from hand to mouth and lived from door to door, and you know, that's what they did.
All right. So, have you had your past lives read?
I have, Phil. My colleague, Dr. Emery Hamlin of Auburn, Washington, read my past life.
And what did you find out about yourself?
I found out that one of my past lives, I was a, I'll tell you, it's interesting, I don't like listening to, my girlfriend. I live with my girlfriend, and a lot of the time she asks me to do things around the house, and I don't have a lot of patience for that, so I had my past life read, and I found out that I was a sailor, and I was, well, it was known as a marinero, which is a, mariner with the, Cabrillo flotilla, and now Cabrillo was an explorer from Spain. And,
so you were a sailor on one of his ships?
I was. I was a sailor aboard the San Miguel. And this was kind of exciting. Cabrillo explored the California coast. And
Do you know how you died?
I apparently was killed by a mainsail line, which snapped and came loose at a terrible speed and crushed my skull.
So do you know how I died in my past life?
I did not get that, no. I did not.
Can you tell people how they died in a past life?
Sometimes I can, yeah. But to give you the long shot of the story is I have a hard time listening to my girlfriend because when she talks, I get this headache. And it's because of this head injury that I sustained in a past life. And also, sometimes those mundane things are boring because I had an exciting life in a past life as a sailor.
So are you telling me you don't like listening to your girlfriend talk? Or
No, but it's just when she's talking about things around the house. That kind of, you know, disturbs me, I guess.
All right, we're talking to Chris Norton. He is with the Past Lives Reading Center. It's kind of interesting. He reads people and can tell you what your past life, what you might have been in your past life. He says that I was a traveling musician in Russia in 700 A.D., and he was a sailor with the Juan Cabrillo flotilla. He was on the San Miguel as it explored the California coast. I wonder if people want to hear exciting things about themselves. Chris, are you there?
Yes, Phil.
Do people come to you because they want to think that maybe they were Hitler or something?
Well, not Hitler, but
But I mean, somebody famous.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people want to believe that they were, you know, someone who was pivotal in history, or maybe they want to believe that they were, you know, at a pivotal moment in history.
Well, in your case, you were.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you were with the Cabrillo, Juan Cabrillo, exploring the California coast?
Yeah, but I was just a, who knows what I was. I was a lowly sailor, obviously not doing a very safe line of work because of the way that I died. So, but yeah, it was a kind of a momentous ship to be on.
All right, so anyway, he will read your past life, or he will read one of your past lives, and tell you who you might have been. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We have a caller. Do you want to take the call, or should we wait through the break? All right, we'll wait through the break. It's kind of interesting, and we'll find out who this caller might have been in a past life. And the goal of all of this is to help you work out your present-day life. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Show 1-800-449-8686.
So I'm on with Chris Norton. He is what do you call yourself, Chris? Are you a past lives reader?
Yeah, I'm I like to look at myself as an educator more than anything else, because I think if you say past life reader or paranormalist or something like that, people get, you know, a little standoffish. So I say that I'm a teacher, but I do use the clairvoyance that the Lord has given me to read past lives.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. So Chris has read my past life. I was a musician in Russia around 700 A.D. Here is Diana. Is it Diana?
Hi, Chris. Today.
Diana, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, and what's your question?
What was I in a past life? Kind of intriguing to find out.
Give me your birthday.
1-16-70.
January 16th,
yes.
1970.
Yes.
Are you married?
No. Divorced.
Can I ask you a question right now?
You can.
I'm getting a male presence, your father or someone like that. Is there a male presence in your life that's causing you a problem of some kind or blocking you somehow?
My father lives in a different country. I don't.
Okay,
really,
so do you miss him? Don't you?
Not at all.
But he's a cause of some kind of a blockage for you.
Yeah, we don't get along very well.
Okay, you know what you need to do with him is just forget him, and I use these questions, Diana, to kind of lead up to who you are. When was your birthday again? It was the 12th?
No, January 16, 70.
January 16th, 1970.
Yes.
Why, are you having a problem?
Yeah.
Not really, just
interested. No, I'm having a problem. Okay. You know, I don't know how you'll feel. You were a female, Diana. You were born, I'm getting, somewhere in modern South or Latin America. I get that there was some art. I think you're either a dancer or a singer of some kind, but I can't pinpoint the year. That's the thing that I'm having a hard time with.
Well, I mean, that's honest, but she was a dancer or singer?
Are you Hispanic?
Yes, I am. I'm from Latin America.
Okay, all right. But you've moved north. So this might have been the reason why I'm having a hard time still pinpointing the year. This might have been a very recent past life that Diana was in Latin America in her past life, and was born in this life to move to North America or to move out of that culture for some reason. She doesn't know her father, and I suspect that it's because of the male culture in Latin America is very domineering, and you're a woman who is trying to break free of some aspect of that. I don't know what it is, but because I do see your father not being there as something that either subconsciously or consciously it has impacted you. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Well, I hope that helps you, but that's what I'm getting. I'm sorry I can't give you the year, though.
So is it important to know the year?
I think it is, because it'll give us some ideas to why Diana, came to America. Were you brought here by a mother?
Yes, actually, I was the first generation in the States.
Okay. Well, you were definitely in either South or Latin America in your past life.
Is that unusual? Like, you got me in my past life being in Russia.
Yes, it is very unusual. It's unusual because generally people in their past life are something completely different from a different origin. It is unusual.
Okay, Diana, I hope that helped you out, and that was kind of interesting for me anyway.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Let's go to another caller here. I think I got... who are we going to? We're going to Kay. All right, let's go to Kay. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Hi, Kay. How you doing?
I'm just doing fine. And how are you?
Good. This is Chris.
Hi, Kay.
Yes,
I'm Chris Norton.
Hi.
So what is your birth date?
My birth date is 1/5/42.
Okay, is that January 1st?
January the 5th.
Oh, January 5th, 1942?
Yes.
When did your husband die?
Well, he's living.
He's li- who? What male figure in your life has recently passed on, though?
The last male figure in my life was my oldest brother.
And he passed on recently, didn't he?
No.
There's a man who is important to you who has recently died. Could it be an ex-boyfriend of some kind, or a teacher? Did you have a male teacher that you looked up to, or?
Well, yes, but I wouldn't know of it if I did.
Just so you know, he's dead.
Well, how would she know who it is?
Well, I don't know, but whoever he is, he died. Kay, you're very clear. I'm getting a good read on you. In your past life, you were a man. You were born somewhere in the territory of modern Borneo, which is in the South Pacific, around 575 A.D., you were a member of a tribe. You were the librarian. You were a keeper of tribal relics with those people. You were a seeker of truth and wisdom and continue to be. You could have seen your future lives, as a matter of fact, back in the day when you were, running around with a mask on or whatever they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And others perceived you also as an idealistic person. So you helped people illuminate their path to the future. Do you do work with people?
Yes, and I'm very perceptive.
Okay.
With people, and I work in the medical field right now.
Yes, I see that you help people kind of lay out their future. But it's interesting to note that you were in Borneo, and you were some kind of a witch doctor. Well, not a witch doctor, but you were a priest.
She was like you said keeper of the tribal relics.
Yeah, whatever they had, mm-hmm. whale's tooth or something like that.
You know, I've always felt that I was a male in a past life.
Yeah,
and
you
were very mechanical and very, I just understand a lot of mechanical things.
Yeah, well, this wasn't really a mechanical job. This is more kind of a reading,
stuff
sense. Like that, yeah. And a lot of those guys were, I guess if it doesn't matter to you, they were homosexuals because that's what they did. That was the job of the homosexual in those days, to be a...
All right, well, anyway, Kay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, we're on with Chris Norton. He's reading past lives today. 1-800-449-8686. He's a past life reader, so if you want to know what your past life was, you can call us up.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're on with Chris Norton. He is with the Past Lives Reading Center in Santa Barbara, California, and he's reading past lives. And this is what you do, Chris. You're not a psychic, right?
No, Phil, I'm not a psychic.
And yet you get senses of people and who they were.
I call myself a teacher. I just can sense some things that other people can't sense. And I get a lot from people and their present life. And then I...
Do you see the person in their past? Like when you said that I was a musician in Russia in 700.
Well, I got a sense of the place and the time and the profession. I don't see you strumming a lute, you know, walking down the road in Russia, but I do get a sense of the place and the time. And do you want me to do more readings?
Yeah, I would, if you wouldn't mind.
Can I give the number of our... Because I don't usually do this for free. And
Well, go ahead.
Our past live reading number is... Past Lives Reading Center is 213-251-3189. That's 213-251-3189. Because this is... What I'm doing today with you is something that is kind of special.
Well, you're reading for my people and you're not getting paid. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't... It's not exactly like I'm, you know, I live on air, so I...
All right, I understand that. 1-800-449-8686. Harriet, go ahead. You're on with Chris Norton of the Past Lives Reading Center.
Hello.
Hi, Harriet. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Fine. Tell me, Harriet, your birth date first off, please.
September 4th, 1946. Right.
Just out of curiosity, you got a pair of earrings, or you did. You're missing one, and they were rather special to you. Do you know where you might have lost that other?
Oh my goodness!
Other earring?
No, it was a diamond stud, and I have no idea.
You don't know where it is,
it.
Do you? Yeah, no. Yeah. Might have been an evening out with a special gentleman, perhaps. Yeah. All right. You were born in 1946. You were possibly a man, born, well, this gives you something in common with Mr. Henry. You might have known Mr. Henry. You were born in the territory around what is today Ukraine.
Oh, my God.
This is approximately 800 A.D.
That makes sense.
Does it make sense to you? Do you have family from there?
Yes.
All right. Your profession, you were a map maker. Are you interested in maps or astrology, anything like that?
Yes.
Okay, you were a map maker. You were what is known as a cartographer, and you were rather constrained and a rather quiet person. You're very creative, but you were quiet in your habits. You waited till you actually had to be liberated in that life, and sometimes the environment considered you a little strange. But you're a more open person now, I think, and so. If you'd like more information, you can call 213-251.
Well, wait a minute. Is that the number to your...
That's the Past Lives Reading Center, yeah.
All right, but you already gave the lady her reading.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but anyway, so... Well, if you want to make a donation, is all I'm saying.
Well, all right. So you're from the Ukraine? Where's your family from?
Well, actually, it was my father's white Russian, Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually, that's kind of the same as that last lady who was from South America. It's not usually the case where your past lives are spent in the ancestral home of this life, but who knows why we make the changes that we make in this world.
All right, Harriet, there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks
very much.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686.
I'd like to just tell people that we're having a special seminar this Friday. It's $100 per person, but you can come and have your past lives read. The number is 213-251-3189, and like right now, I'm doing this for free, but I ordinarily don't. So,
yeah, you've already told me that, and I'm sorry. I feel as if I'm imposing on you.
No, this promotes my business, but anyway, thank you for having me on.
Well, we have a few more callers.
Okay, so what do you want me to do?
I'd like can you take a couple more calls? Chris, can you take a few more calls?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay, here is Christy. Hey, Christy.
Hello.
Hi, you're on with Chris Norton.
Yes.
Hi, Christy. I'm Chris.
Hello.
How are you? First of all, I need your birthday, Christy. Or is it... Wait a minute. That's not your name. Is it Kirsty?
Christy.
It's Christy. Okay. What's your birthday?
January 28th.
Is it 28th?
28th, yeah.
January 28th. 1964. You have a keychain, by the way, Christy, don't you, with a key that you don't use anymore? Do you know what that key's to?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, you got a key on your keychain that is you don't use it anymore, but it's to something kind of important to you, something you might have forgotten.
Hmm.
You were in your past life a female, so you weren't, you know, a man. So a lot of times people get freaked out, and I say, well, you used to be a woman, and guys don't like that at all. But women don't seem to mind being men.
But this lady was a woman.
This lady was a woman. You were born somewhere around the territory of modern Sumatra. Sumatra is also in the South Pacific. You were born approximately 1000 AD, or lived approximately 1000 AD. You were a carpenter, which is kind of unusual for women in our society, but in Sumatra, especially in those days, the women could do that kind of work as well. In that life, you had a natural talent for sizing people up, I guess is the best way to put it. You knew how to use opportunities. You were rather cold-blooded and calm in a lot of situations, which I sense you may be still now. If people called you kind of not cold-blooded, but if they said you're kind of a hardcore, maybe, or something like that?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah? Possibly, but you're not sure, huh?
Well, no.
Well, here's a lesson that your past life is, I think, can bring you, that timid, lonely, self-confident people are everywhere, and you need to overcome these tendencies, because I sense that there's a little bit of loneliness. And we are having a seminar on Friday, and the number is...
Well, okay, can we give the number later on?
Well, you got me reading these things for free. And
okay, can we give it... Thank you very much, Christy. Did that help you at all?
Yes, thank you.
Jesus.
All right, thanks.
I don't know about you, man, but I don't live on air. And I
heard that already, and you said you'd come on and do this, so I want to hear more about it. 1-800-449-8686. Who are we going to next? Okay, let's go to Megan. Is that line two? Megan, hi, you're on with Chris Norton.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi,
I'm fine.
Megan, this is Chris. I hope you don't mind. I usually don't do this for free. That's why, if I give you a phone number, maybe you can call with a donation or something.
Can we not hit people up for money?
I'm sorry?
Can we not hit people up for money?
Whatever.
Go ahead, Chris. Do her past life reading.
Okay, Megan, what's your birthday?
December 29th,
1983. December 29th, 1983.
Yeah.
And where's that other earring of yours?
The other earring?
Yeah, you lost an earring.
I did.
Yeah, you got a pair of earrings that one of them's gone. Do you know where that might be? I think I know where it is, as a matter of fact.
Really?
It's in the glove box of someone's car. It's not your car. I don't think you have a car. Do you have a car?
I have one, but it's not. I don't own it.
Yeah, it's in the glove box of somebody else's car. Maybe a girlfriend. I think it's in the glove box of a girlfriend's car.
Okay.
In your past life, you were also a female, Megan.
Uh-huh.
You were born somewhere around the territory of modern West Russia, and that was approximately in the year 1500 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
You were a designer. You worked in what passed for engineering in those days, bridges,
yeah.
And that kind of thing. You were a seeker of truth, by the way, in your relaxation time.
Uh-huh.
And other people perceived you as kind of an idealist in those days. Do you work where you help people? Are you a nurse now or anything like that?
No, I'm not a nurse. Well, I want to be a teacher, though.
Right. That's a great job for you to go into, because you do illuminate things for people, as you did in your past life as a designer and as a builder of things.
Was that unusual in Russia in 1500 for women to be bridge builders?
I guess what I want to say right now, Mr. Henry, is I'm talking to Megan and not you.
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
Because you're having me do this for free.
Well, you know, you're insulting the lady when you talk like that.
I don't mean to insult you, Megan. I'm just, I usually don't do this for free. Anyway, that's what I've got.
Do you want to answer my question?
No, I really don't, no.
All right, Megan, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. What's wrong with me asking a question?
If you want to start dropping some money into my pocket, because right now, I'm just burning daylight here, man, answering all these old people's questions about...
Will you please? These are my listeners. Well, is it true that women could be designers in Russia in 1500 or not?
I'm not answering that.
What do I got to do? Drop 20 bucks in a collection plate?
That'd be a nice start, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We have Chris Norton on the line. He's a past lives reader. He can tell you about your past life. And all you have to do is give us a call. 1-800-449-8686. And don't worry about donating any money. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We only have time for one more call. I've been with Chris Norton from the Past Lives Reading Center. He's been telling us about past lives, and he's been reading people's past lives on the air here. You wanted to give that phone number out.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead.
It's 213-251-3189 to call up, because I don't do this for free.
I understand that. Let me go to Hyacinth. Hyacinth, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
And you're on with Chris Norton.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
This is Chris. How are you?
Good.
Okay. First thing I want to know is your birth date.
December 17th, 46.
It's December 17th?
1946.
So December the 17th. And I wanted to ask you a question. You have a scar on your left knee, don't you?
My left knee.
Yeah. All right. Did you injure one of your knees?
Yes.
Okay. I there's like some pain that you had down there. I'm not sure why. Hyacinth, you were a female in your last earthly incarnation.
Uh-huh.
You lived in, actually, this is very recent. This is the early part of the 20th century.
Is that unusual?
So am I answering your questions, too?
Yeah, I just want to know, is that unusual?
Yeah, it's unusual.
Look, at Mr. Norton, let's get something straight. I'm not going to pay you. This lady isn't going to pay you. Just please answer our questions.
It's unusual, yeah. Usually past lives are much, much further back. This is the early part of the century, Hyacinth. You worked... you were a female in the employ of one of the Axis powers in World War One. You were a spy.
Ooh.
I
hope I was a good one.
Well, you were a spy for the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Oh.
And that's all I can say. I can say how you died, though.
How is that?
From syphilis.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that was around the early part of the 1920s.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Go out and make it a good day.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. Hyacinth, you still there?
Yes.
Are you putting me on?
What?
What do you mean she died from syphilis in the early 20s?
That's what I'm getting.
And where are you getting it?
What do you mean, where am I getting it? I just...
Sounds to me like you made that up just to bug her. Do you believe this stuff?
No, I don't. He's not a happy camper, that's for sure.
You're... Happy camper. You're the one who's out shagging all kinds of Russian guys.
Okay, never mind. All right, that's it, man. I don't want to...
Look, Mr. Henry, you have to believe in the psychic world.
To believe in the psychic world, huh? Where are you getting all that information?
Off of a website.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Off of a freaking website.
The Past Lives website that I found before I went on the air with you.
Yeah, okay. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Not really. That was me doing the voice of Chris Norton. What a half-baked bit that was. Find a reincarnation site, do Chris's voice, and get a bunch of people calling up. God! I used to be a traveling musician in Russia. Yeah, sure. You know, that whole past life thing, I think they just tell people what they want to hear. But that ain't what I wanted to hear. 1-800-449-8686. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. And by the way, folks, if you'd like to learn more about our show, go to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And there you will find our audio archives and our webcast archive, all kinds of things. You got to get a backstage pass for only $6.95 a month. You will be admitted to a world of radio comedy that is unlike anything else you've ever heard. Just get a backstage pass, $6.95 a month. And that's philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. I wanted to mention the souvenir shop because there's stuff in there this week that has not been in there before. And this is pretty cool. We've got a Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. Now, with Mother's Day coming up, this is the best gift you could get for Mom. Get her a robe from the spa at Western Estates. It's a beautiful terry cloth robe. In fact, let me get onto the site so I can read you exactly the specs on this baby because it's something else. It's got the Western Estates logo embroidered right there on the left breast. It has a double patch pockets. It's got a two belt loop, you know, the kind of raised and lowered belt loops. It is comes in a kind of a one size fits all. Let me get over to this now. Western Estates. Here we go. I think this is going to be a good gift for Mother's Day. And, yeah, here it is. White plush, 100% cotton, terry velour, three-quarter length sleeves, and measures 48 inches long with two patch-style hip pockets and double belt loops. One size fits most, embroidered with the Western Estates logo. You got to get that. Also, for the man in your life, don't forget the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass. That's right, brand new to the collection, the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass. 7/8 of an ounce shot glass. It's a kind of a, it says it's a sampler shot glass. What's that mean? So that gives you a sampler shot glass, I guess means, what are you, sampling the drink? I don't know, man. I ain't never sampled anything out of a shot glass. I drank the whole bloody thing down. Anyway, it's a 7/8 ounce sampler shot glass, set of four. Comes with a set of four, and you can also get the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Everything for Mother's and Father's Day. You don't have to shop anywhere else except the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back with more baloney.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Robert Green joins us. He is the manager of a chain of grocery stores. There is an interesting new promotion that he is helping with that is happening not just in his the stores that he manages, but retail outlets throughout the West Coast and on into the Southeast. It's DNA testing, and I want to know, Mr. Green, exactly how this is done. And who came up with the idea of DNA testing and why?
Well, Mr. Henry, this was an idea that I came up with after a personal experience of my brother's that was tragic for our family, but hopefully we can stop from being repeated.
And what was it?
Well, the fact is, you don't know if you are actually the father of your own children. I say you, I mean all men. They just don't know if they are actually the fathers of their children. The only way they think they know is because their wife told them. And I think if every man out there was honest with himself, he'd realize that that's the truth. The only way he really knows that his kids are his kids, fathered by him, is because his wife told him. And that means that you have to trust your wife. And, you know, that's fine, and I'm sure that most guys do trust their wives. Some guys trust their wives to a fault. Some guys trust their wives and shouldn't. You have to trust your wife when she says those are your kids. Otherwise, I guess you wouldn't know. A woman will tell you, oh, sure, the kid looks like you. That's what my brother's wife did. And I'll tell you his story a little bit later on. The only way to know for sure if your kids are actually yours and not some other man's is a little thing called DNA testing. And we're doing it in these murder cases right now, Phil.
Well, in the Scott Peterson case, as well as other cases, right?
Exactly. And what DNA testing will tell you, it gives you a genetic blueprint of you and you alone, and it can tell you who's related to you and who isn't. Frazier Foods, in association with Chem Farm Laboratories of California, is setting up a simple portable DNA testing machine at our store and at other retail outlets, so a man can bring in his kids if he wants to. A swab of saliva is taken.
Now, when you say a swab of saliva, is all of our DNA genetic material in a swab of saliva?
Absolutely, Phil. It's in hair, it's in saliva, it's in your blood, it's in your skin. And we can take a swab of saliva from the father and from the child, run it through the machine, and the results are obtained in 30 minutes. Now, the chances are, you know, your child is yours. But how many men listening to me right now, and I want to make this point as clearly as I can, how many of the men in your audience, Mr. Hendry, are listening to me right at this moment and have serious, unresolved questions or even fears that the children or the child they have may not be theirs? I mean, sure, you like to think you trust your wife, but what if there is a chance and you don't really want to ask your wife?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, why not ask the wife?
Because she'll start acting indignant. She'll assume that you don't trust her, which is what women, a lot of them do. The test is easy. It doesn't frighten the child. The wife never has to know.
What do you tell your child?
You can tell the kid it's a blood pressure machine or some something like that. See, one of the things a lot of the supermarkets have, the blood pressure machines, and that.
Yeah, and you can check your pulse rate.
Right.
All right, I got to ask you. We'll get into why we need DNA testing of children and men to make sure the men are actually the fathers of those children. We'll get into that later. And by the way, these men are doing it without the knowledge of their wives.
Well, you'd have to, Phil.
Why do you say that?
Because if your wife found out that you were having your kids DNA tested to make sure that they were really your kids, she'd go wild. Women go wild on stuff like that. Even if she had been, you know, sleeping with or whatever you want to call it, other men while she was married to you, she still will be indignant about it. So, you know, that's one thing.
All right, why a retail outlet? Why your store?
Well, first of all, because it increases foot traffic into our store. We require a minimum of $30 purchase. Other stores where it will work would be sporting goods stores, tire centers, wherever men are.
All right, I want to ask you about how volatile a situation this could potentially create in your store if a man brings his child in for DNA testing while he's going grocery shopping and finds out that that kid that he's with isn't really his kid. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Robert Green. He is the chairman of Frazier Foods. They are setting up DNA testing machines in their supermarket, in their grocery stores, where the man can bring in any one of his children, take a saliva swab. Is there a nurse there?
There's a medical technician there, yes, sir.
And they run this DNA, and they can tell within 30 minutes the result.
While you're grocery shopping, yeah.
All right. Big question. I'm a father. I bring in my son. I've had this fear. I find out that he really isn't my kid. Isn't this potentially volatile?
Well, you know, if he finds out the truth in my store, I got a customer for life, Mr. Henry. I don't know what the ramifications are back home. If a man comes into my store and finds out that his kid is really not his kid, I got a customer for life. He's going to always remember that Frazier Foods is where he finally found the truth out about whether his wife was, whether he was the father or she, you know, had some guy in there when he wasn't around. And if it is his kid, then he'll remember the day he came into Frazier Foods and those fears were put to rest. But either way, I got a customer for life. I don't want to be his wife, you know, but I certainly welcome his business. And one other thing, if the DNA testing proves that the child is not yours and the machine is functioning properly, and this, some people didn't want us to do this because they thought it was a little inappropriate, but we just want to say, if you find out that that child isn't yours, the groceries are free. It's on us, because it's a tough time, and we don't need to be shaking you down for more money. And that's something else. You could, even if you find out that kid isn't yours, still get shaken down for child support.
So if I come in with my kid, we both get DNA tested, I find out that he's some other man's kid, you'll give me my you'll give me my groceries for free?
Well, you laugh at it.
It is a little funny.
Well, you laugh at it, Mr. Henry, but it is a traumatic thing. It's a very traumatic moment when a man finds out that his wife has had sex with another man and made a kid with him, and you have been the guy that's been supporting this kid. It's very traumatic, and it's the least that we could do to ease the pain. And Mr. Henry, again, a lot of guys may believe that those children are theirs, but what we're saying at Fraser Foods is, don't let her make a fool out of you.
All right, so with a $30 minimum purchase, I get the test done, and if it shows that the child is not mine, the groceries are free. All right, now I have a question. Why should I not trust my wife? It's the basis of love and marriage.
Well, if we're willing to believe, Mr. Henry, that your wife is telling the truth when she says that that's your kid, okay.
Well, you know, you made love to your wife 9 months ago, and now she's having a baby.
But you don't know who else she was with. I mentioned my brother. I can tell you the story of my brother. He was a lot like you. He had a lot of blind faith. His wife was loyal. He already had two other children. He thought they looked like him. She told him they did. When their third child was born, the baby was, it came out, it was African. It was a black African. And she told him that it was a genetic thing every fifth generation. And he asked me about it, and I said, I didn't think I'd stop laughing. And I told him about this DNA testing thing, and now he's a firm believer.
Well, then, wait a minute. Your brother didn't actually take the kid in for DNA testing if he saw he was an African-American baby.
Well, but he thought maybe she was right.
Every fifth generation, the kid comes out black?
He thought maybe she was right. So he found out, he divorced her, and guess what? She still tried to stick him with the child support. So that's another thing. The men listening right now, say you find out that kid isn't your kid, and your wife was with some other guy, you may still wind up paying child support.
All right. Robert Green, with one of the most unusual promotions I've ever heard of, he is the chairman of Fraser Foods. In his grocery stores and another retail outlets, DNA testing, so that you can find out once and for all if your children are really yours and your wife wasn't with someone else, some other man, fathering or mothering children. 1-800-449-8686. It brings up all kinds of questions about the trust thing. If men really don't believe that child, or they have a question as to whether that child was fathered by them, why don't they ask their wives? According to Bob Green's information, the only reason a man wouldn't do this DNA testing is because they're afraid of losing their masculinity or afraid of their wives. And he says, don't be afraid of your wife. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You also have a sign on your machine that says, don't let her make a fool out of you?
That's correct. See, if you don't want to get the DNA testing, it's your funeral. But she's making a monkey out of you with all those kids that she had with six other guys, and you think you're the father.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Should men be allowed to DNA test the children without the woman's consent? Should men be allowed to DNA test their children without the wife's approval, without the mother's consent, so he can see if they are indeed his? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're joined by Robert Green. He is the chairman of Fraser Foods, and we're talking about a new device that he's putting into his stores called a... Okay, hold on for a minute. David G. Hall is on the line. Yes, David?
Yeah, Phil, we had this conversation yesterday.
David, I'm talking to Robert Greene, who is...
You're not talking to anybody. We already had this conversation yesterday. I told you I didn't want any more DNA material on the air. Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah, but...
Then why is it back on this hour? Last night it was on a different hour. What, are you moving it around so I won't find it?
I thought we could make the bit work.
Well, you're not making it work. It sucks. DNA testing to find out if you're the father of the... Do you realize who you're talking to? Do you understand the audience that you have out there? The average, the median intelligence is about 12 years of age. They don't understand DNA testing. They don't know what it is.
But it's been all over the news. They had Scott...
Oh, well, it's been all over the news. That surmises that people actually watch the news, that they actually read a newspaper. Whoa, been all over the news, huh? What news has it been all over?
The Scott Peterson trial.
The Scott Peterson trial. What people understand about that is a woman, no head, baby, floating water. They get that. DNA testing they don't get. Well, in other words, what you're trying to say is you really believe that you can build some kind of a bit out of a guy with a machine in a grocery store checking to see if the DNA on him and his kid match before he goes in to buy cereal? Is that what you're telling me?
I thought...
Well, your instinct... Boy, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to send you back to school. Your instincts are... They're getting a little dull there. I think you want to start drinking. Don't quit. Start. Because with that kind of instinct, brother, we are on our way to disaster. I don't want any more DNA testing machines, no more DNA bits, no more bits about DNA or fathering kids.
Okay.
So I'm not going to see this turn up again tomorrow in another part of your show, am I?
No, you're not.
I'm going to hear it in the 4 o'clock hour or the 8 o'clock hour, huh? Why did I hear it again today?
Because I thought we could make it work, all right?
Yeah, good job. It sucked last night. It sucks today. It'll suck tomorrow. It'll suck forever. What else you got?
I got a Margaret flashback.
Go to that.
Thanks a lot, David.
Yeah, oh, I get it. It's my fault. No, I see. It's my fault. You're the guy that puts the stiff material on, but it's my fault.
Look, let me just do this thing.
All right, then I want to see you in my office.
Here's Margaret. She was on last night to defend Scott Peterson. She thinks he didn't do it, and she's a really gutsy reporter.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, I just can't believe anybody's taking this woman seriously. I mean, this sounds an awful lot to me like O.J. Simpson saying he's out finding the real killers.
I'm saying that Scott Peterson has very clearly stated he could not kill a woman or hurt a woman.
Well, and Baghdad Bob said that there were no troops outside of Baghdad. People lie. I mean, there's no way you can say
Baghdad
that this man...
Baghdad Bob was psychopathic. Scott Peterson holds down a job. He pays a mortgage.
He has $10,000 in cash on the way to Mexico.
He was not going to Mexico. He was driving by Torrey Pines Golf Course in San Diego.
Well, what's he got $10,000 worth of cash for?
He is a gaming fan. He loves to game.
Well, are you saying that he was going to a casino?
Carrying $10,000 of cash is not unusual.
Of course it's unusual. Do you carry $10,000 worth of cash?
Well, Jim, maybe for you, I don't know how much money you make. Some people make enough money where they carry some in cash.
Well, I carry some money in cash, but not $10,000.
Well, you're not him, aren't you?
Well, no, and I didn't kill my wife either.
The only reason people think Scotty is guilty is because he had a little affair with some bar trash...
There's
now
all
everyone...
kinds of evidence linking him to this, and the fact that
wait a second. What evidence? What evidence?
Well,
not...
He's gotten $10,000 worth of cash. He's
that's
right
not
outside
evidence.
Of Mexico.
That is circumstantial. That is not hard evidence.
Yeah, well, circumstantials, they can go with that.
Oh, really, Perry Mason? And in what way?
I'm not Perry Mason.
I can't believe you, lady. I just can't believe the evidence.
Tell me what evidence. What evidence is there?
Look, all I know is they're not going to arrest somebody when they don't... They probably have DNA evidence. We don't know the whole story. But the fact of the matter is that the fact that he stood up to Diane Sawyer doesn't make him innocent.
Look, the police have been wrong before. I hate to break the news to you, Jim.
Well, of course the police have been wrong before, but why are you so adamant that he's innocent? That's the thing that I don't understand.
It's that things are not adding up.
Well, you say things aren't adding up. Here's one of the things you say isn't adding up. The guy said he wouldn't hurt a woman, but, you know, the woman's dead, so how could that add up? like the man said, guys lie about it. Look, if I beat my wife, I'm going to be running around saying, yeah, I do.
But the fact that he had an affair indicates that this is a man that's probably pretty adept at lying.
Look, if a man is violent toward his spouse, don't you think the police would have been to the house at least once? They were in O.J.'s case, as long as you bring him up. And yet there's no record of physical violence by Scott against this girl.
That doesn't matter.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, you know, a guy's got to start. Hey, for all I know, he killed her by accident.
Well, look, I mean, that doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is the police have got enough evidence to be able to arrest him and indict him. And for you to come on the air and say, well, he stood up to Diane Sawyer and he said all kinds of things nice about his wife. I mean, for heaven's sake, Susan Smith said that her kids were carjacked when she'd driven them into a lake. I mean, murderers lie. People who have affairs lie.
But when Susan Smith said that, it didn't make any sense that someone carjacked her.
Why?
It just didn't make sense that a black guy would come along and take kids.
But then it doesn't make sense. Well, I mean...
It doesn't. Why would a black man come along and abduct two children?
I don't know. For money. Maybe the guy's going to kidnap him for money.
Some bar trash's children he's going to kidnap for money.
What's with the bar trash?
Well, you saw...
The same thing.
Susan,
the things that you say, the way you characterize the woman he's had an affair with, I just don't understand your slavish loyalty to Mr. Peterson.
I do not have slavish. I have slavish loyalty to objectivity and the truth, and I can tell you that this is a rush to judgment.
Well, objectivity would say, let's wait till the facts are in.
Exactly.
You're sitting on the radio and saying, absolutely this guy's innocent, because you couldn't stand up to Diane Sawyer if you were guilty. And that's just nonsense.
Diane Sawyer would have ripped him a new one.
Diane Sawyer couldn't rip anybody a new one.
Look, Jim, I'm on my way to the Pulitzer Prize dinner with this story. Because
you are the most arrogant human being I've ever heard in my entire life.
This is about winning a Pulitzer?
This is about reporting the way reporters are supposed to, Phil. I'm rolling the dice, you're right. But if it comes up sevens, it's Pulitzer time.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You got more stuff, bud?
I got stuff on Scott Peterson.
All right, we're going to be talking about Scott Peterson the next half hour. What do you got?
All right, I researched this. This is fascinating.
Scott Peterson, of course, the man who is accused of killing his wife. All right, let's see this. The Spanking Master, Volume 3, starring Ted Windsor and Scott Peterson. What is this?
That's, I didn't know Scott Peterson did gay porn.
This is obviously a different Scott Peterson, isn't it?
Why?
Because this doesn't look like Scott Peterson. This is some other guy. What do you mean, the Spanking Master?
I think you ought to look into it.
I tell you what, bud, why don't you rent this?
I'm not queer.
Well, I ought to look into it then?
Well, you're more you than me.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
London Satire pokes fun at George W. Wow, there's a newsflash. There's some original thinking for you. Yes, a satirical play that makes fun of Tony Blair and George W. Who would have thunk it? Who would have imagined it? That's what I call groundbreaking, breathtaking, searing edge, cutting edge, you know, seared steak, charbroiled. You're kidding. A satire on George W. Bush? Wow. Man, there's some gutsy and courageous humor. There's some real theater, baby. You know, we're so ashamed of who we are, aren't we? We're so uncomfortable with who we are. We really are. You know, we got a successful society, relatively successful. I mean, you'll find people complaining about it. But if you look around the world, you realize that we're the gold standard. Not that everybody else is worse than us. It's just that the human race hasn't developed much further than us. I hate to break the news. That's the way you put it. The human race has simply not evolved further than America. America is the leading edge of human evolution on this planet. I don't know why. I don't know why we were blessed, why we're so smart, why we're so lucky. It was a pretty good idea. A couple of guys had and some powdered fright wigs about 200 years ago, and they said, but to bring the thing to the clan to the equal, it was a bunch of bull crap. A bunch of landowners had a revolution against the British, but it seemed to work out good for everybody. American Revolution wasn't about the common man. It was about a bunch of landowners that shucked and jived some common people into fighting with them. And it turned out okay. Everybody got a piece of the pie. Everybody got a piece of the rock. You know, it ain't bad. This is it, baby. This is as good as it gets. But you see, we're ashamed of it. We're embarrassed by it. And so we have such courageous stands as making fun of President Bush. Oh, boy, I bet you that's just really funny. God almighty. You got to understand, I grew up in the late 60s in high school and college at a time when political satire was at its zenith. I mean, we had David Fry doing his timeless satirizations of Nixon. He did an album that I still remember. It was called Watergate, Richard Nixon, A Fantasy, or Nixon, A Dream, something like that. He did the voices of Nixon and everybody, Rod Steiger, all these things. And there was Credibility Gap, and there were all kinds of groups. And, you know, Johnson was made fun of, and Nixon, and Carter, and down through the years. Now we have another cutting-edge satire. This one, George W. And the reason why we do this is because, for some reason, we don't want, because we are so big and powerful, we don't want to look like we're piling on weak people, so we don't make fun of, like, the towel wrappers that we could be making fun of. Where's the satire about Osama? Saturday Night Live does a couple of little bits there, here and there, but where's the satire on Hussein? Well, you know, one of the reasons why they don't do it is because it's way far over there, and those cats are never going to see it anyway. Satire is not effective unless the target can somehow see it and hear it. And if he's not around, or if the people who live under him cannot see it and hear it, it's useless. But there's ways of doing it. There's ways of getting through. Especially in Europe. Especially in Europe. Especially in a place like France, for instance, where there's so many Muslims. You could do some really funny raghead satire. But you see what the problem is? We're afraid the ragheads are going to riot. They're all going to have a riot. They're going to burn down the Eiffel Tower. They're going to burn this and they're going to burn that. They're going to get pissed. Well, we've turned the corner on that, man. We've turned the corner on, don't want to piss off the Arab street. No. We've turned the corner on, we don't want to piss off the Arab street. Now we got about a 35 millimeter mounted on a freaking Jeep. Go ahead, get pissed. These cats going, these Shiites going down to their little shrine there yesterday. Yeah, have all the fun you want, man. Rip your flesh, whatever stupid, barbaric, medieval thing you people do. Go ahead and do your little Shiite thing. But you cats want to do this Arab street thing? Get a load of this. Take a mouthful of this lead. I'm so tired of hearing that I could throw up. And the people that are with the mea culpa over here, the people that are ashamed of America's success and ashamed of where they live and ashamed of all the power we have, and there should be a more equal distribution of power. You know, I agree there should be a more equal distribution of power. Too bad there aren't enough people who are worthy and responsible enough to have that power. I'd love to be sharing the power. You got anybody in mind? Who do you got in mind? You want to give some to that guy in North Korea? Have you not heard me? Did you not hear our broadcasts for months? The guy wears high heels. The guy has a processed pompadour. The guy that runs North Korea and is in possession of nuclear weapons wears freaking high heel shoes. And he's got an Elvis do. He's got the waterfall effect curl, a duck-ass haircut. He's out of his mind. And there's people standing there saying these. Exactly this thing. This guy's like Korea's Gary Glitter. And there are people that'll tell you this. It's not fair for America to have all the weapons. Why can't Korea? There's a simple answer to that question. They're nuts. Are you crazy? I've never heard such stupidity in my life. This war, this Iraq war, brought out some of the dumbest human beings the world has ever seen. And unfortunately, and I say this with the greatest of respect, because I like a lot of their movies, Hollywood never looks stupider than it did over the last 8-9 months. Every time they open their big bazoo with that celebrity anti-war, oh, Jesus, they just sounded dumber and dumber. So, now we got a satire poking fun at George W. I got a great idea. Let's start poking fun at all of them towel heads. I think it's a culture that is ripe for poking fun at. I think that the leadership over there is the biggest collection of dingbats since the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. They're in sheets, they're in napkins, they're wearing berets and hats. They're sitting around like the collection of the seven dwarfs. Where's the satire? Where's the jokes on that? Where's the making fun of that? Frankly, if you want my honest opinion, I'm sure you don't, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I think George Bush himself is a rather shallow area for... I don't see much to satirize there at all. I see more to satirize in American life, which is what we do on our show, by the way, every day. Every single day on this show, we hold the average American up for ridicule because I think there is nothing riper, nothing more fertile in this country than the average Joe in the street for being made fun of. Because you want to know why you got George W. Bush if you don't like him? You. Jesus. Figure it out. But, you know, we're ashamed of it. You know, we're very ashamed of it. So we, what we do is we try to downplay it and we want that equal distribution of power and we try to make everything, you know, we're really not that great. We're actually kind of despicable. We've done a lot of bad stuff. It's almost as if, you know, you're like the rich kid on the block that is ashamed of the big house that you come from. You just want to be like all the other kids on the sandlot playing ball and forget about my old man owns the lumber company. That's it in a nutshell. Instead of saying, well, it's a resource that I have, I'll use it. Maybe to try to make the world a better place. But you don't have to try to make the world a better place at the expense of a country that isn't half bad, the United States. Well, look at all the horrible things it's done. Okay, look at all the horrible things it's done. Yeah, you're right. I don't deny it. The United States did something that it's always doing, by the way. And we did it this past week. Colin Powell, in a public forum, apologized for the U.S.'s role in the destabilization of a democratically elected government in Chile in 1972. Only in the United States is that going to happen. Yeah, I know the Germans apologized for Nazi Germany, but they had the whole world's gun pointed at their head when they did it. You know, where else are you going to find a government that's going to acknowledge that kind of behavior? We did. Yeah, we did it. We did a lot of things. And we try to correct them by not doing them anymore. See, that was the whole thing with Saddam Hussein and the fact that everybody wanted to bring this one up time and again. It was America that put him in power and America was in business with him. Yes, you're right. But we're not anymore. As opposed to the French, who are. So are you telling me he's a bad guy and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for being in business with him? You're right. But what about the countries that still are? Do you want to talk about that? Oh, I see. You got to get going. Is that right, huh? The sitter's leaving, so you got to get to the kids. You don't want to talk about that. All right, I understand. I'll get the bill. These are, one would say, glaring facts, but some people might consider them subtleties that only the sharpest mind can grasp. I don't know. I think it's as obvious as the nose on your ugly and my ugly face. You're pretty, but my ugly face. Forgive me. That's the facts. And the British, you know, God bless you, Brits. You're great. You need a little work done on your teeth, but you're all great. Let's see. British play that pokes fun at President Bush and Tony Blair, a popular diversion. Justin Butcher's satire, The Madness of George W., scheduled to run at least through May 17th at the Central London Arts Theatre. This is the third auditorium for the play that opened quietly in January in a small theatre. I beg you, know exactly who this guy is. He's some Cockney artiste, you know. I'm looking at America through a sort of prism, you know, a sort of prism. Right. It's only colonialist thing. Oh, shut up. In the play, Bush is portrayed as an overgrown baby who appears in pajamas, clutching his teddy bear, and preparing a war on Iraqistania. Oh, they're playing up that dumbass thing, huh? They still think he's just a dumbass? You know, you gotta be careful who you call a dumbass, because history may prove you wrong. That's all I want to say about that. As W, Thomas Arnold, the actor, butchers one reference after another. The Cuban naval base Guantanamo becomes Guacamole Bay. Sinn Féin leader Jerry Adams becomes Jerry Saddam's. Weapons of mass destruction are called weapons of mass distraction. And other references that only the English would get and would never play in the United States. By the way, it opens in New York in June. The Madness of George W. takes its name from an Alan Bennett play and a subsequent film about George III, who over time went mad. The play's subtitle is Strange Love Revisited, in homage to the corrosive Stanley Kubrick. And if it wasn't about George W., we wouldn't even be writing about it here on Yahoo. Anyway, again, don't be ashamed of who you are and where you're from. Don't be ashamed of it. Doesn't mean you got to be kissing the American flag, but stop with this transparent, continuous, ad nauseum, never-ending beating up of your country because we happen to have a lot of juice going for us. If you look at how you got to where you are today, I don't care who you are. If you look at how you got to where you are today, if you're a successful person, your life track looks pretty similar to the life track of the country you live in. You made mistakes. You stepped on a few hands. You kicked a few people in the balls. You tried to do the right thing. You've made a home for yourself. You live pretty good. You go out and you work hard. And occasionally somebody comes along and says, you remember the time you kicked me in the balls? You go, yes, I do. I'm sorry I did that. Well, and you got to deal with them, right? Your life is not too much different from your country's life, the life of your country. We grew. We made mistakes. We may still be making them. But we also do some things right. And I'm sorry to break the news to you. I know it's going to come as a horrible shock. But the Iraq War is not Vietnam. The Iraq War was a righteous, correct, very moral thing to do. And it was probably the most morally prosecuted war in the history of war. So, pucker up on that one. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I feel much better. Let's see David Hall call up and tell me to shut up about that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So we got at the house last weekend, we got the, I don't know what they call this, you know, as you know, I've been talking just intermittently, I hope I haven't been going on ad nauseum, about the TV pilot that, God, this process started back in September of 2001, like a few weeks after 9/11, I went into business with NBC to write a script, and then they would see whether they wanted to make that into a pilot, and then they would see whether they wanted to make that pilot into a TV series. Well, we got past the whether they want to make it into a pilot's place. We made it into a pilot, and now we'll find out whether they want to make it into a TV series. But in the process, you go through a number of edits. They look at it. They go, well, that sucks. Go back and edit it out. Edit out that fat guy. It's me. Take everything out with a fat guy. Okay, great. Now it looks good. No, you know, they'll say, take this out, take that out, tighten that up, make that broader, bigger, spread the legs on that, bend that over, whatever. And then they put the music in, etc. And so we saw the cut, as it's called, before it went to the network. So right now, NBC has the pilot. They're passing it around to friends and neighbors. They're dropping it in mailboxes with, you know, unmarked. But, you know, they're doing focus testing and research, and they give it to a pigeon and see how many of them crap on it, and if that's it, then it gets on the air. I don't know how they do it. In any event, I saw it, and if this gets on the air, we're hopeful that it will. You have to understand that the chances are it won't. It's just a long shot that any script that is made ever makes it on the air. I mean, you know, it could. We would be very happy if it did. But if you ever see it, that big, fat, blue blob in the middle of your screen, that's me. God! I mean, Henry, I know you like noodles, but this is ridiculous. I'm bigger than my old man was at my age. Or at his age. Or whatever age I'm talking about. I'm bigger than my old man was at my age when he was at his age. Something like that. Thank God I play a security guard. I play a guy who owns a security business, so I can look like I'm a retired fat cop and I got the big blue jacket on. And nothing, you know how they say that television adds 30 pounds or whatever? Blue adds a lot. Blue adds a lot of weight, too. If you're fat, never wear anything blue. I'm wearing blue in this thing. Wow. Anyway. And the other thing that we're very proud of, and I want to say this for the record, the work of Laurie Metcalf, you may recall she was the Roseanne's sister. And Laurie's been in a number of things, and her work is outstanding. She's one of the top actresses I've ever seen. And she is funnier than hell. And French Stewart, who you recall from Third Rock from the Sun, outstanding. What a creative guy he is. He brought so many new things to every scene. What a blast to work with two brilliant people like that. And I actually got to be in a scene with the two of them, and I thought I was going to, well, I don't want to say, but one of two things. Something that, you know, something expelled from the body. Anyway, it was very funny standing there with those two guys and listening to them do their thing, because it was great. So I hope you do see it someday, sometime, somewhere. If nothing else, we will, maybe we'll have a viewing party at my house for a few million listeners. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, so now backs away from its uproar ignited when they said that they were opposed to a double murder charge in the Lacey Peterson case. Yeah, see, the National Organization of Women said that it shouldn't be called a double murder charge because an unborn fetus is not a person, and if you were to set that precedent by calling it a person, then it would add more fuel to the pro-life crowd. And yesterday we're basically pointing out on the air, can you maybe pick another news story to make your point with? So they're doing that. They're backing off. They're doing the right thing. They're going to go back and throw a few more cards, pull a few more beers, and just shut up. Just shut up. Somehow, now's not one of those organizations that you want to say shut up to. But I'm just saying shut up. You know, I think it's a great organization, but boy, have they had some real dirtbags. Seriously, I think the National Organization of Women is a pretty decent organization, but they've really, over time, had a few scumbags working for them, and I don't want to get into any names. One in particular. Real trash. Wrote a book recently. So you guys, you know, every now and again, it's not a bad idea if you just to kind of take your name off the bestseller list, back off, go whatever, burn a brassiere, so I don't know. Visit the girl bar, you know, have another banana daiquiri, and just leave it alone for a while. This is not the time or the place to be hearing about your views on pro-life, pro-death, pro-choice, pro-football, or anything else, pro-forma. Just get away. The smell's killing me. Just stop it all. Hey, how about that big protest at the Augusta Golf Course around not having chicks in the Masters? Oh, yeah, that was a hit, wasn't it? Let me tell you something. Don't fool around with the rednecks. Everybody that goes down south for a protest the first time at bat always gets their ass kicked. Always. See, northerners think they got it all going on. They think the southerners are a bunch of dumbasses. Southern folk are just as hip as anybody else. And if you think you're going to go down there and tell them how it's done, it ain't going to happen. Not that I disagree with the general concept of having female members at Augusta, because all you got to do is replace the word female with black, and it suddenly becomes rather clear in your mind what you need to do, right? It suddenly becomes extremely clear what position one must take. Oh, Chris is saying then you'd really be against it. Okay, great. But me too. No, I'm kidding. Neither one of us would. We'd be all in favor of everything that's good. But, you know, when you're going to go down there and have your protest, forget it. You're going to go down there. You don't know the lay of the land. You're going to get your ass kicked, and that's exactly what happened. They wouldn't let him within 58,000 miles of that golf course. There were a few people screaming on a street corner. Whatever. And then for some reason, Jesse Jackson didn't show up. I'm kind of sorry to see that, because Jess always stirs it up. Al Sharpton, by the way, he's running for president. I think the time is right for Al Sharpton to run for president. I really do. That's yay. Way to do it, Al. I don't see how you can lose. I think you picked your moment perfectly. Right now, running for president is exactly what Al Sharpton should do, because I think he'll get millions of votes. Billions. It'll be a landslide. If ever you wanted to pick a time to run for president, Al, today's the day. Not a few weeks after Bush just kicked a whole bunch of towelheads' asses, the guy's approval ratings through the ceiling, the who cares about the economy, etc., etc. Nobody is really listening to Michael Moore anymore. Nobody saw the Susan Sarandon movie. Perfect time for Al Sharpton to run for president. Anyway, he should have been down there, too, because he's, seriously, and I'm not kidding, he's very entertaining. He's very entertaining. See, I look at guys like that for their entertainment value. Maybe I'll vote for him, maybe I won't. Chances are I won't. But the guy is smart. He's a good debater. Jackson's cute. I like him. It's the same reason why I dig all those psychic hotline guys and that one cat that, what does he do? He reads dead animals, fortunes or something. He digs up animals. What does he do? He does paw reading. Oh, her name is Sonia, and she contacts the dead cats. She contacts dead cats. So dig this. This is the part that I find funny. Not that she contacts dead cats, and not that there are people who will give her money to contact their dead cat. What I find funny are the guys that self-righteously scream and cry about what a hoax it is. Those guys are hysterical. Of course it's phony. Who's the guy that wants to rip the lid off Uri Geller? What's the guy's name? The Amazing Randy? Hey, Randy, why don't you take a chill? We know it's phony baloney, man. We're having a good time with it. What is it with you, man? Nobody's paying attention to you? Why don't you go make a spoon bend? I know the guy's doing it phony. It still looks cool. If maybe you could do it, Mike and Dan dumped me there. You never know what the local stations are going to think. So sorry, stations, but I just said something that got dumped. You know, my philosophy is ask for forgiveness, not permission. I just asked for forgiveness from Dan, my engineer there. Dump that, Dan. No, seriously. Of course it's phony talking to a dead cat, the spirit of a dead rat. What's that? Yeah, my mini lap rabbit died a year ago. Well, let's contact it. Contacting the spirit of a dead bunny. And there's people. Why don't they? People realize this is outrageous. He's stealing money. It's a scam. Really? I wish all those guys would just take a rest. Go away. Let us make up our minds. And if some of us are dumb enough to lay our money on a guy who can figure out where the soul of my dead bobcat went, or, whatever, if maybe it's burning in bobcat hell right now, for all I know, the cats that I've owned, they ought to be cooking in hell, the things they put me through, and half the dogs, too. If there's a dog hell, man, my dogs are in it, and thankfully so. The stuff they put me through, I think it ought to be a mortal sin for a dog to crap in the house. I think that's dog hell. If they got any kind of a reconciliation for dogs, which would be confession, if those of you are not Catholic, and I'm barely, but then a dog would have to go and confess that I crapped, oh, man, you're kidding. No, I did. I crapped in the hallway. You're a dog. You can get away with that if you're a cat. The cat gets away with that. Dogs don't. You better go say 100 Hail Fidos, and then that's got to be a dog sin. So These guys that are reading the souls of dead chipmunks, fine. But a guy comes along and says, I'm going to debunk. Is that the guy's name, Chris? The Amazing Randy? And he debunks all these psychics. Wow, that's great, pal. You know what? How popular do you think he is as opposed to, like, Uri Geller? I mean, I've barely heard of the guy. Uri Geller was on Happy Days in the 70s. Not the... Randy was? Who did he play on Happy Days in the 70s? The Amazing Randy on Happy Days in the 70s. The guy's been around for like 30 years, and he's still trying to debunk Uri Geller, and Uri Geller is still bringing in all that coin from bending all the freaking silverware. Who cares? You can't leave his house without finding a bent fork, knife, something. It's pissing me off. I don't know about anybody else. Don't ever invite that guy for dinner. That's why I serve plasticware every time Uri Geller comes over. Snap. Ah, tried to bend the plastic fork, didn't you? 1-800-4... So what's the point of what I'm saying? Here's the point of what I'm saying. What am I saying? Oh, yeah. Those guys are entertaining to me. And that whole thing that went down in Augusta, you're going to have to go at it pretty slow. Because that good old boy thing... But CBS, mark my words, CBS... is now feeling the heat. They'll be off the Masters. They won't. I guarantee you, by this time next year, CBS will be considering dropping that golf tournament. Because they're going to have to walk in and sit down with old Hootie and explain life to him a little bit. Seriously, CBS has got too much to lose. They got too much at stake. And they can't be seen as, look, they're just getting over hee-haw. Now they got to be the one that televises the tournament that don't have no women or blacks. Yeah, that's great. They're just getting over hee-haw and the Lucy show, and this is CBS. Yeah, man, that's not going to do it. So what they got to do is they're going to have to sit down with old Hootie, and any guy named Hootie, boy, you better be retired. Because they know where you walk into a guy's business and flip your card out and go, hi, I'm Hootie, want to sell you some tires? Yeah, listen, Hootie, I got a date over the golf tournament. CBS is getting heat for televising a tournament that don't have no women in it, and these are the cats that gave us the Beverly Hillbillies. And on top of that, the reality Beverly Hillbillies. I got a great idea, boss. Sure. Why don't we get a bunch of hayseeds, put a camera on them, make them look like utter, complete asses? Les Moonves. Sounds good to me. Well, I guess that CBS won't be able to... That's one more network to want to see my pilot if NBC don't want it. Talk about burning some bridges today, man. Let me just burn all my bridges right now, okay? I love NBC. It's the greatest network ever. And I wouldn't want to see... I tell you what, I wouldn't want to see CBS burning down. Let alone airing my... Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, there's always Telemundo. Yeah, the network that gave you Petticoat Junction, hee-haw. I love that show, by the way. I watched it religiously. Didn't you? How about that Junior Johnson? I loved it. What's not to like? It had those good-looking chicks that would pop up out of the corn, like Roy Clark was just doing something disgusting down there, and then he comes popping up with his banjo. What the hell? And then they'd come popping up with Junior Johnson. Big fat guy in the overalls, and the two really good-looking chicks would pop up, like, what was he doing? And then they'd have, the barnyard dance. It was great. What else did they have? They had Rawhide, and now they're bringing me what? The Masters Tournament with them singing caddies in blackface? I don't think so. I don't think so. Minnie Pearl? Right after hee-haw, we'll go on down to the Masters. They'll have some colored singing in the clubhouse right quick. You're watching CBS.
Yee-haw!
All right. So, okay, that's burned the bridge at CBS. Now let's work on ABC. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our, I forgot. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com for all your Phil Hendry stuff, as well as our best of CDs. All the money goes to my friend my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. That's it. Here is Robert. Robert?
What's up, Phil?
Not much. How are you?
Excuse me?
How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm fine.
I'm just calling because I heard you say something about black people.
Wow. I did?
Yeah. Yeah. You was
what
like,
did I say, that I love them?
You was making, like, black comments and stuff like that.
Yeah, so what?
What do you mean, so what? Don't you know you got black people listening in your damn,
Well, let me ask you something, station? Robert. What did I say? See, I could say that black people are great. I could say that I really respect the Tuskegee Airmen or the Black Panthers of the Tank Division.
Hey, I'm
well,
not gonna,
so
need, yo,
making comments about black people, you got to be more specific.
I'm not gonna even repeat it because you know what you what
okay,
you
Robert,
say,
then
you know
you're full
saying?
Of crap. Then you're full
of crap. Too,
yeah,
you
you're full of crap. And you're a racist. You hate
you're
white
racist,
you hate
redneck.
White people. You hate white people, dumbass.
Why I hate white people?
Because you said
why
you did.
Why would I
heard the
people?
Comments about white people you
my
made.
My wife is white.
I'm not even gonna repeat them.
You're a freaking idiot.
You're
fuck you.
What's that? Guy calls me a racist and he won't tell me what I said. You know, let me explain how I do my show. I just make comments about culture. I don't make comments about race. I make comments about culture. And the difference between race and culture is very simple. Most people don't understand it. Culture is something you choose. Race is something you don't choose. To make fun of a man's race is racist. To make fun of a man's culture may be valid. It may be valid. Not all culture is constructive. Some is destructive. For instance, the culture that was promulgated by Hitler, the Entartete Kunst, the Aryan as God, the kinswoman thing, you know, all that baloney. I love that guy. I heard you talking about black people. Yeah, what about it? What about it? So I was talking about black people. I heard you talking about white people. So, you know, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not a racist. I make fun of culture. You know what? I refuse. Absolutely refuse. And it could cost me my job someday. Who knows? But I absolutely refuse to see people as anything other than people first. Then, of course, their race is very important because I understand that people are judged by their race. But considering what the world has been put through the last 50 years, I entirely reserve the right to question culture. And if I want to call them a towelhead, you better get used to it because that's exactly what they are. And the reason why I feel emboldened to do that is because they have felt emboldened to call my country Satan, degenerate, devils, stupid, heathen. Huh. What do you call that? So I call him Towelhead. It's just about as intelligent as saying that America is a heathen country. Because if you take a good long look in the mirror, the only heathen looking back at you is you, my man. You know, and your camel's double parked. So, and as far as being commenting about Muslims, I'll comment about Muslims all I want. I comment about Christians all I want. Why not Muslims? See, this radio show down through the years has taken some serious shots at Christianity. Serious. I've also taken shots at atheists. I've called them, well, I basically don't think atheists exist. And now it's the Muslims' turn. And I'll take as many shots at them as I want to. Just because Muslims are, some Muslims are traditionally violent, that's too bad. I think certain sects of Islam, they're goofier than freaking two coats of paint, man. Those cats need some serious evaluation. They're almost as goofy as some sects of Christianity. You want to talk about them holy rollers? Those guys are weird. They ain't got nothing on those guys that are cutting themselves up like a bunch of jackasses out there in Iraq. What the hell is that? And if I want to say something about it, you better believe I'm going to say something about it. If you think it's racist, go back to school. Go back to school and get an education. Recognize what a racist is. The Christians take the shots. The atheists take the shots. As soon as the Hindus start raising some crap, maybe we'll give them a little bit back. And right now the Muslims are going to take it and they're going to love it. They're going to take it and they're going to smile. Because this is America. This is the land of the free, the home of the brave. And we got all kind of free speech around here, brother. It ain't just reserved for Tim Robbins. He's not the only guy that gets to stand up in front of the National Press Club. Oh, you mean he is? Well, I got a radio show that reaches almost as many people as he does when he's just walking down the street. And this week, in the crosshairs, Muslims and all of their towel-wrapping, weird-ass ways. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You see this? They got a movie coming out this summer, Jason versus Freddy versus Jason. The guy from Nightmare on Elm Street against the guy versus against the guy from Friday the 13th. They're going to be This is some cat saw like Gamera versus Monster X and said, "This is, we can do this." I don't want to say what I was doing at the time, but back in my early 20s, laying around watching Japanese sci-fi movies, like with that King Kong that did karate, I would laugh for days. All right, 1-800-449-8686. James, hello.
Yeah, Phil, first-time caller down here in Austin, Texas. I'm just going to say, being an Arab American, I'm just a little bit, took that a little bit racially insensitive comment, the towel head remark.
It's not racial.
It's a little bit racially insensitive.
No, it isn't. No, it's not.
How can you say that, Phil?
Do you wear a towel?
I do not.
Okay. It's cultural, then. It's not racial. Not everybody who is Arab or Arab-American wears a towel.
Yeah, but Phil, you know, an intellectual like yourself, like, you know...
Yeah, James, you use the word racist because you know it's charged, and because dumb people, which you're not, but dumb people hear that, and they don't want to hear the rest of the argument. So that's why you use the word racist. You're trying to manipulate it.
Okay, Phil, but even though they call us, you know, a nation of heathens...
Who does?
The Arab Americans. The Arab...
I haven't heard anybody call Arab Americans a nation of heathens. Ever.
You said that on your show. You just said
I never said Arab Americans are a nation of heathens. I said that the Middle Eastern cultures and societies call America a heathen nation. America. You see,
okay,
James,
Phil,
you know, do me the favor of listening to me. If you want to comment on what I'm saying, you don't have to listen to me. You can turn the radio off if you want to. But if you want to comment on what I'm saying, listen to what I'm saying. I didn't say that you're heathens. I said the Middle Eastern societies, especially the religious leaders and the leaders of the nations over there, call America a heathen nation, a devil nation, a this and a that.
Well, some of them do, Phil. It's a minority, definitely.
A minority? Every leader over there. Name one that doesn't.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Well,
but,
let me help you. None of them. They all talk about us the same way. We're a bunch of scumbag, heathen. America's the big devil. We're a Zionist supporting. They're so anti. You want to talk? You want to know who's racist? The leaders of the Middle East are racist anti-Semites. They're Nazis. That's who's racist. It's unfortunate that the people of the Middle East are so beaten down and have a collar around them by the fascists that run their countries that they can't do something about it. Fortunately, we went in and did something about one of them. We went in and took that Hussein out, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Well, we may have differing opinions on that, but, you know, just my comment was, you're not going to get anywhere with, you know, just calling them towel heads. It's insensitive, maybe not racially, but it's just...
Well, I don't know. Why is it insensitive? I don't understand.
It's just an inane comment on your behalf.
No, they do. They wear towels on their heads. They act idiotic. They are violent. They're cowards. I mean, I can't see, you know, these people who are these religious mullahs, the leaders over there who talk about killing Jews. I mean, they're the worst form of life that I've ever seen. Yeah, I'll call them a towel. I think that's a fairly benign comment to make, to be honest with you. I don't think it's all that bad. I could call them a lot worse.
Yeah, well, it's just that kind of mentality that's why they hate us.
Why they hate us? James, what you fail to understand is they've now given us a reason to hate them. So I don't care whether they hate us or not. I, based upon what they have done to my countrymen, I hate them. Now, I don't really literally hate them, but I don't have a problem at all seeing our soldiers waste them one by one.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. 9/11 was a big wow, too. You know, the coal, wow. You know, the bombings of the TWA jet, wow. The bombing of the discotheque that murdered American soldiers, wow. The suicide bombers, wow. The endless, unending murder and butchery carried out by these terrorists in the name of the Palestinian people who they care nothing for. Nothing for. Wow. Saddam Hussein. Wow. Assad. Wow. The royal family of Saudi Arabia. Wow. All right, here is Thomas. Hello, Thomas.
From your old stomping grounds in South Florida, boy, things have changed. I'm just picking up your radio show in the last 5 minutes. I can't believe it's the same Phil Henry.
Anyway, Thomas, say something that people be interested in, all right?
Okay, bottom line. If you judge those...
Nobody cares about your old home week thing. Just get to it.
Okay. If you judge the people who call us a heathen nation by as being a majority, representing a majority of Arabs, or I don't think there is such a thing.
Don't.
I think you're wrong.
I don't. Hey, Thomas, I don't. So don't waste your breath. I don't. I'm referring to the leaders of that country, the religious, the leaders of those countries, and the religious leaders of those countries.
With all due respect, which leaders are you referring to?
Okay, the Saudi royal family, the leader of Syria, the leader of Iraq, the leaders of Iran, the leaders of Lebanon.
Stop for a second. The leaders of Jordan, the leaders of Israel, of Egypt, and the leaders...
The religious leaders of Jordan, the Sunni religious leaders of Jordan have called us every single, every one of those names. Every one of them. All the local mullah leaders, you name it.
That's not true. No,
it's absolutely true.
Wait, let me just say this, okay? I think that if you judge them by those comments... It would be as if you were to listen to Klan members and say, gee, all Americans talk like that.
You know what, Tom? You still didn't listen to me. I'm not judging all of them. I'm talking about the leaders of those people. I'm not talking about the people. Countless times, you know what? Maybe you should have been listening earlier, because countless times I've talked about the people of the Middle East. And you want to know something? As far as my old show in Miami, times have changed, my man. Have you?
Have, Phil, okay. But I don't ignore the realities.
I'm not ignoring reality. The reality is this. The people of the Middle East have been criminally served by their leaders, and it is time for somebody to point that out. I've been listening to them talking about how this country is a heathen country, we're devils, we're this, we're everything else. Our people are murdered, and we're supposed to... Our people are murdered in cold blood, and we are supposed to understand why it happened.
Of course not. No one said...
Absolutely.
Kind of
you want to talk to the people I talk to.
Wait a minute. If you're going to judge yourself, I realize you hit a cross-section of people, it's all over the board, but you cannot judge the people who represent that ideology as being constant or consistent. It's not. No one's going to justify what was done to our Marines in 83 in Lebanon. No one's going to justify what was done by those lunatics on September 11th.
Every time one of those things has happened, there have been people saying, but you know, there's reasons. America has committed so many sins.
Look, Phil, absolutely. Japanese, you can still find Japanese who are pissed at us for dropping bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, we're going to go with that one, huh? That's a completely, utterly different situation at a time and a place. Look, let me put it to you this way, Thomas. Were you living in 1945, you would have dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. That's how times have changed. Keep the argument in the present day. Times have changed so much in 60 years. Do you realize that warfare in those days, bombing civilian populace, was de rigueur, my friend?
Of course.
Everybody did it.
Present firebombings, we led the way with it. Come on.
No, we didn't lead the way with it. As a matter of fact, the Nazis led the way with it, my man. They were the ones dropping V-2s on London before we ever did anything to Dresden.
My point about...
You know, you're not making a point, so let's stick with the modern times and forget World War II and your Nazi analogies.
Your point was you wanted to show that people have long memories and say ridiculous things in times of war. And my point was I agree they do say
long memories.
No,
what are you talking about?
You don't judge them by their lunacy. You judge them by the actions. And I got to tell you one thing. I know you're a fan of this administration. If you're really hot about that, then how can you justify what his old man has done with the Carlyle Group in terms of being in bed with the Saudi royal family?
Well, I tell you what, Tom. I don't know. I don't know. You know what? As far as that's concerned, hey, Thomas, if you want to have a discussion, we'll have a discussion here. But you don't want to have a discussion, okay? You're angry because you're wrong about the war in Iraq. You're wrong about the politics of the Middle East. You're wrong about your views on Palestine, most probably. Here's the situation and the reality. I'm going to comment on what I said, and you came on and didn't hear any of it and started to have opinions about it. I never commented on the people of the Middle East. I commented on their leadership. I comment on cultural, not racial, aspects of people as far as wearing the towels on the head, and I'll continue to do it. And I am personally... I'm tired of having to absorb attacks against this country and its people and have to understand the reasons for it. The murder that took place on 9/11 was over the top and wrong, and now Saddam Hussein's lost his job, the Taliban have lost their job, and if the Shiites want to start, saber-rattling their bullcrap, they're going to lose their job. It's not anti-Muslim, it's anti-religious zealot, okay? Thanks for your call. Look, if you got another agenda about the Carlyle Group, man, go bore somebody else. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Show 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, my wife and kids go to the movies. I don't anymore. Nobody invites me anymore. They just go, oh, we went and saw. Oh, just thanks. Well, you were working. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was working. I mean, I do get home from work. And then we saw Bringing Down the House. You saw Bringing Down the House. Yeah. Maybe I would have liked to have seen. Oh, well, honey, I'm sorry. You were. So I don't go to movies anymore. She and the kids, they go. And they saw Bringing Down the House, which the kids liked. She thought it sucked. And then they saw Anger Management, and all of them thought it sucked. And my kids are big Adam Sandler fans, going way back, way, way back to Billy Madison. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jack. Hello, Jack.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
You don't have to say that.
Okay.
But it's great.
Okay. Just have one quick question, and then I'll hang up, and then I'll listen to you, okay, because I've been on hold. How would have we managed this war without the help of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, and Bahrain, like you said, if they have all those kind of negative attitudes and they call us names and all those stuff? I mean, would have...
Self-interest?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have made this war because I don't think we have...
Yeah, but
that
doesn't make them great guys. They just have self-interest. I mean, they're just trying to preserve their own thing.
Like what kind of self-interest?
What kind of self-interest?
Yeah,
first of all, we're a huge customer for their oil, number one. And number two, quite frankly, if truth be told, they might be a little bit nervous about their totalitarian regimes, given our present stance on terrorism.
Phil, before I forget, this morning, this afternoon, when I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, he said, when we went for the war there, we don't go there for the oil. So how are we customers? We get about 21% of our oil from our own resources, and the rest from Venezuela.
Right. No, so not the rest from Venezuela. We get oil from Saudi Arabia. We get oil from the United Arab Emirates. We get some of our oil from Iraq. We get oil from, and then we get oil from Canada and Venezuela and Mexico. You're right. But they are a supplier of a part, a vital resource.
So you think
and we're a major customer of theirs. Huh?
Do you think they're entertaining us and they're welcoming us just because we are their major customers? That's the only reason?
Oh, absolutely. Without question.
Okay.
Without question. I think that they're the biggest pack of hypocrites that the world has ever known. I think the American people are finally waking up to it.
Uh-huh.
I think we are disgusted with them. We saw their handiwork at 9/11. They were all Saudi Arabians. So the fact is that I think they're hypocrites and they do it out of self-interest. And I'm happy to be able to use them and then throw them away.
Right. And I should conclude here saying that instead of going after Iraq, we did a good job going after Iraq, but instead of Iraq, we should have taken Saudi Arabia first, trust me. And have a good night.
Fine. Let's do it. Fine with me. See you later, man. So anyway, that's what I heard, anger management blew. But, see, Jack Nicholson is a... You want to know the funny movie that he did? A thing called The Last Detail. That's hysterical. I don't know that he's so funny when he's doing it with the big arched eyebrow and the big grin. You know, Jack, do the dramatic bit. That about Schmidt, that was great. Fantastic movie in every way, shape, and form. Anyway, so I don't go to movies anymore. They go, and I sit at home and wait for them to return, and that's fine. Thanks a lot. Let's see what else I'm missing. I haven't seen a movie in so long, it's criminal. And I used to like them. The last one I saw was that Piano Deal, The Pianist. I liked that flick, and it was, you know, but... What the hell happened to the movies that are coming out? Phone Booth, What a Girl Wants. My daughter is totally into those flicks. And who's in that, What a Girl Wants? It's Cher? No, I don't know. A Man Apart, Head of State. Head of State, I hear, is pretty funny. House of a Thousand Corpses. I hear that's really a riot. I hear that's hysterically funny. The Core, Chicago, I hear that's just, you know, it's side-splittingly funny. Piglet's Big Movie, Agent Cody Banks, Ghosts of the Abyss, Bend It Like Beckham, The Pianist, which is just hysterical, Dreamcatcher, The Hunted, Old School, Dysfunctional Family, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Now, that's the one where she, I don't know what the hell it's about, but it's supposedly pretty cool. And then they have a thing here, Christopher Guest, actor. What the hell does this mean? Are these the movies that he was in? A Few Good Men made $15 million? I forget it. We got one of these art houses down the street from us, and I'll drive by it every now and again, and I'll see something on the marquee. It'll say, you know... Satyricon, you know, Fellini's Satyricon, it'll say, you know, something out there, man, you know, Babette's Feast, some crazy, and I'll try to get in there and watch it, but of course, I'm like most people, I can't look at the subtitles, because I'm reading, I don't see Jack, I can't see the movie when I'm reading. I know it sounds stupid, but I can't. So... And everything my wife drags me to now has got the subtitle. My wife figures if it's subtitle, it's worth seeing. Let me tell you what. We saw a movie, and then, of course, if it's just made by a cat with a big, long Italian name, it's got to be really, really solid. And we saw a movie a few years ago. Oh, my God, was it lousy. It was called Tea with Mussolini. Oh, my God. Of course, I'm the guy that said let's go see it because I thought it would have a lot of Germans getting shot. You know, I thought it was World War II. And it wasn't. It was about these old bags that they're living in a town, and I don't know, and some young guy that hung out with them. It's like a 22-year-old guy that just got hot hanging around these women who are 80. And there's a guy sitting behind me. He's about 112, and of course he fought in World War I and World War II. So when the scenes came on, he's going, "Yeah, that's we were there, Monica scene." He's talking that loud. We're in the movie theater. And here comes another thing. "All right, see, that's where we were." I turn around. "Sir, I'm sorry." "Huh? I'm sorry. Shut up." "What'd he say?" "He said to shut up." "Okay, now right there, we were there at Anzio Beach." "Shut up!" He shut up finally, but... Oh, Amanda Bynes. Yeah, it was Cher. Lily Tomlin played a lesbian, but that's not really... Okay, yeah. That's what she is, isn't it? And then Maggie Smith played a lesbian. And Cher played one. And, Judith Dench played a lesbian. So they were all lesbians. And the guy that dug him was, he was queer. It was great. I don't know what it was about. 1-800-449-8686. So Lily Tomlin is a lesbian? I thought she just dug those safari pants just for kicks. I thought the pith helmet thing was back with her. Phil Hendry Show.